The next presentation is the turfgrass seed mixture optimization. The presenter is Joshua Frail from University of Minnesota.
Good afternoon. Thank you for the introduction. Again, my name is Josh Frail. I'm a PhD student at the University of Minnesota, graduating in the spring. And the information I'd like to present here pertains to work that we've done on optimizing turfgrass seed mixtures. So we know from the ecology literature that multi-species assemblages are needed to maintain a high-functioning ecosystem. And further, we know that this concept does indeed extend to turfgrass communities. This is in large part because no single species provides superlative performance under all of the conditions in which we need to grow turf, whether it's a roadside or a home lawn, a sports field or a golf course. And so the obvious solution here that we usually use is to mix species together. But the question is, what's the best way to do this? And if we survey the turfgrass literature, we see that a number of studies have tried to address this question previously. And these studies have focused on a variety of factors like timing of seeding and germination, mowing practices, soil conditions, fertility regimes, some combination of these factors. And many of these studies have taken a population dynamics approach to answering this question. But as we look through this literature, we saw that the selection of entries for these trials were oftentimes based on convenient, arbitrary, or commercially available proportions of the constituent species. We also noticed that the data analysis is sometimes restricted to ANOVA and mean separation, which can only identify the best mixture in the trial and not necessarily offer us any sort of predictive capability in terms of what the best mixture might be. In the cases where regression has been used, it's not been based on standardized models that were designed for mixture experiment analysis. And so we started to ask ourselves two questions. First, how could we standardize the design of turfgrass seed mixture experiments across several response variables or across several environmental factors? So we needed to answer questions like, how should we choose the mixtures in the trial, and how many should we include? And second, we wanted to know how we could interpret the data in a way so that our choice of mixtures in the trial did not affect the conclusions that we reached. And after we looked through literature from several different disciplines, we found that a combination of simplex design and analysis with numerical optimization could help us to answer these questions. Now, these techniques have been used extensively in other disciplines previously and have been suggested for use in agronomic experiments, but have never been implemented fully from beginning to end in a turf seed mixture experiment. And so the objectives of the work that we set out to do were twofold. First, we wanted to formalize the use of simplex designs and numerical optimization for turfgrass seed mixture experiments. And second, to demonstrate the use of these techniques by conducting a simple four-species mixture experiment. Now, the species that we chose were Kentucky bluegrass, perennial ryegrass, hard fescue, and tall fescue. We chose these based on the fact that they had been used commonly in previous mixture experiments, and also because they're found at a high frequency in Minnesota landscapes. Now, our proportions of these species were based on pure live seed count and not weight, so that we could standardize the total number of seeds planted for each mixture. Those mixtures were defined using R to generate a simplex centroid design. Now, a simplex centroid design, like other mixture experiment designs, including other types of simplex designs, must satisfy two constraints, in that all of the constituent species proportions must lie between 0 and 1, and they have to add up to 1. Now, we could use more or different species for this experiment, but because the design points that we arrive at are a function of the number of species in the mix, it's important that we define up front which and how many species we're going to use and not try to retrofit these analysis techniques to an experiment that's been designed for a different purpose. So here you can see the list that we arrived at that represents the simplex centroid design. You'll notice that this list seems somewhat simplistic, but you can imagine that if we added more species or started to restrict the range of proportions for those species, that this would get more and more complex. As a side note, if you're interested in what happens when you have 9 species and restrict those ranges, I'm presenting a poster later today. I suggest you stop by. And we can also, we can plot these design points in a three-dimensional space, which for four species takes the shape of a tetrahedron. But they're difficult, of course, to all see at once, so I'd like to step through these groups sort of one at a time. At the vertices of the tetrahedron, we see all of the monocultures represented. At the edge centers of our tetrahedron, we see all possible combinations of 50% of each of two species. At the face centers of our tetrahedron, we have all possible combinations of 1/3 of each of three species. And finally, at the overall centroid of our tetrahedron, we have 25% of each species. So each of these mixtures were seeded in four replications in pots and placed in a climate-controlled grow chamber. Those pots were watered every 2 to 3 days to field capacity, and they were clipped to 5 centimeters and harvested every 7 to 19 days, with the final clipping occurring 19 weeks after seeding. So those clippings were collected and dried, and total dry clipping weight was used as a response variable for our model. And we chose a measure of biomass because biomass is known to be an easily measurable indicator of overall plant community health. So next, we fit a full second-order regression model to our response data using Scheffé's canonical polynomials. Now, these polynomials were designed specifically for analyzing mixture experiments. Next, we use backward elimination to identify the best model to fit our data using AIC for model comparison. Before I move on, I'd like to just point out that in the equation shown here, the beta I's represent the coefficients of our regression, which will be important in a moment, and the X I's represent the proportion of each constituent species in the mixture. So from the ANOVA table at top, you can see our final model included four main effects as well as two interaction terms. But in this case, what we're more interested in are the marginal effects represented in the regression summary in the bottom table. And specifically, the estimates shown here are the beta I's in our regression equation. So by replacing those beta I's with these estimates, we've now arrived at a functional form of our response from which we can predict total dry clipping weight for any combination of the four species in our experiment. Now we can visualize these predicted total dry clipping weights by plotting them in that same tetrahedron that we plotted the initial design points in. And furthermore, we can take slices through that tetrahedron, effectively fixing the proportion of a single species. The resulting slice takes the form, in this case, of a triangle, which some of you might recognize as being analogous to a soil triangle, except in this case, as we move towards the bottom left, we're increasing the proportion of Kentucky bluegrass, the bottom right, hard fescue, and the top, perennial ryegrass. Now, the points inside each of these triangles represent the predicted values of total dry clipping weight as we vary the remaining portion of the mix, so the three remaining species. So, for example, in the bottom center here, we've fixed the value of tall fescue at 10%. So the values inside this triangle represent the remaining 90% of the mix. So each vertex here, for example, represents an overall mixture of 10% tall fescue and 90% of one of the other species. Now we could look at this and try to determine visually where the optimal point lies. That is, which mixture maximizes total dry clipping weight. But we don't know for sure that we've taken these slices at the appropriate locations to do that. And in addition, as we begin to add more species, we can no longer plot them in a three-dimensional figure, and there's too many dimensions for us to visualize this way. And so we need to turn to some sort of mathematical optimization algorithm to do this for us. So in this case, we've chosen an augmented Lagrangian optimization algorithm. Now, we chose this type of algorithm because it allows us to implement both the nonlinear and linear constraints that are requisite of a mixture experiment. Again, those being that the proportions add up to one, and that they all lie between 0 and 1. So having run this algorithm on our response data from our model that we generated with those estimates, we found that 83% perennial ryegrass, 17% hard fescue was our optimal mix. That is, it maximized total dry clipping weight. But we don't know for sure that this would outperform all of the trials in the, all the mixtures in the initial trial design. And so we repeated the experiment with the same initial mixtures, but with the addition of four replications of our new optimal mixture. Now the data from the mixtures that were repeated were combined and plotted. So here you can see on the x-axis we have our mixture ID number. On the y-axis we have the total dry clipping weight from the two runs combined. Now if we plot on top of this our new optimal mixture, you can see that it does indeed outperform the other mixtures in our trial. Now, it's important to keep in mind that had we not used this type of analysis technique, we would have accepted mixture number two as being the best mixture in the trial, but instead we've been able to predict a better mixture and show that it does outperform all the other mixtures in our initial trial design. Now, you'll note here that the confidence interval on our new optimal mixture is slightly wider than the others, and that's representative of the fact that to date we only have that data from the second run, the four replications on our optimal mixture, whereas we have a total of eight for the other mixtures. So to date we've concluded that Simplex Designs can offer a straightforward method of standardizing designs for turfgrass seed mixture experiments. Under the conditions in which this experiment was run, a mixture of 83% perennial ryegrass and 17% hard fescue will maximize the total dry clipping weight. And when used together, simplex design and analysis and numerical optimization can predict and identify optimal turfgrass seed mixtures for a specific response variable. Moving forward, we'd like to repeat this experiment again, which is currently in progress, to verify that our new optimal mixture does indeed continue to outperform the other mixtures in the initial trial design. We'd also like to investigate the potential for optimizing other response variables. In this case, we've used biomass, but of course there's other things that may be more pertinent in a turfgrass situation, like root or soil health, disease resistance, nutrient use efficiency, maybe weed encroachment. And finally, we'd like to include overall seeding rate as a factor in our analysis, methods for which already do exist for simplex designs. So with that, I'd like to thank my advisors, Dr. Brian Horgan and Dr. Eric Watkins, research assistant Maggie Ryder, the research scientists that assisted me with the growth chamber, and the numerous funding sources that have allowed me to be here today. And I'd like to thank you for your attendance and look forward to your questions.
Time for top questions.
Yeah.
I barely understand the model business that you just did, but my question is really simple. I mean, are you surprised that, how would you explain that putting a hard fescue that we sort of know has a slower growth rate with the grass that has a fairly rapid leaf extension rate actually produces more clippings? Is it possible there's some underground influences playing around here?
Yeah, so the question was whether the mixture of the hard fescue into the perennial ryegrass, and why does that perform better than just the perennial ryegrass itself?
It seems counterintuitive, and I'm wondering if that raises any other issues that maybe modeling like this excludes or misses.
Okay, so I would say, yes, it did surprise me, but at the same time, that's the purpose, is we're trying to identify cases in which that happens. Now, if you think about the turf system as sort of a black box, and we have inputs and we have outputs, and we're trying to determine the relationship between those in sort of a systems view perspective, there could be underground influences between the two. Obviously, we do know that, you know, like you said, hard fescue is a little bit slower germinating, and those are things
growing.
Correct. Sorry. Those are certainly things that we would like to look at. One thought I had on that was perhaps it was actually more an effect of just a reduced seeding rate. Whether the hard fescue germinating slower than the perennial ryegrass, that in the end it was excluded from the mix because the perennial ryegrass inhibited its germination and development.
So you didn't do a botanical composition?
Correct.
Oh, okay.
Correct. So that's where it differentiates from some of these previous approaches that use population dynamics and takes a more systems-level perspective to identifying the optimal mix. So the next step there could be to to look at the population dynamics to try to understand why this is the optimal mix.
You just talked about species, not about cultivars. Cultivars, so some cultivars perform very differently than other cultivars.
Correct. So the comment was that some cultivars perform very differently than other cultivars, and in our experiment, we only addressed the effect of species. So that's a very good point, and I'm glad you mentioned that. There are definitely possible differences between cultivars. In this case, because our data and our model and our predicted optimal mix relies on knowing what the system is, we can't necessarily, to date, extrapolate that to say that would work the same for other cultivars. So in that case, you know, I would maybe advocate for a testing program which would evaluate different cultivars in this type of experiment along with the species.
Okay, wait, hold on. Thank you.